Okay, last week we started, it's going to kind of be a short study, it'll only be 5 or 6 weeks, about the one another passages that we see in the Scriptures. And I passed out a little sheet last week that had, it's kind of a condensed list of some of these one another passages. The lists are back there on that table back in the back if you want to pick one up. They're just for your own use. When we got to looking at that list, my wife and I helped me put that list together, we included only the New Testament and only those that really applied to the church. Because there's like 117 some odd different other passages in Old Testament and New Testament, and we didn't want to be that extensive. So those are there for your benefit. You can use them as you want to, but we want to talk about a few ideas that I kind of plucked out of there that I thought were kind of important to me. And this deals with our relationship with one another as members of God's body. Last week we talked about the idea that we're members one of another, that we have we're part of a body. Christ is the head, and we are the body, and as being part of the body, we all are individual members, but we are all part of the body, and therefore we're all necessary, we're all needed, we play an important part. We saw that God placed us in His body where He wants us, and He expects us to function where He's placed us. And so, no one more important than any other, no one no less important than any other, we are a body. And so we talked about that. Now, what I want to talk about today is a little unorthodox, but it is definitely one of the one another passages, and that is that we greet one another. Now, over in Romans chapter 16, we'll read that in just a minute, but it says at the end of that passage to greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? And so we want to talk a little bit about that idea here in just a moment. Now, when I think about people's relationships with one another and greeting one another with a holy kiss, I grew up in a family. This goes all the way back as far as I can remember in my family that we were not a very affectionate people. I'm not saying we didn't love each other. We did. We just didn't show it by hugging and kissing and things like that, you know. And when I'm in family, I had to adapt my whole way of living all over again because they're a very affectionate people. And it just blew me away, really, because I didn't understand. I had to readjust and relearn, you know. And we realized that, you know, we're not all the same. All of us have grown up in different ways, and we kind of adapt the things that, the way we grow up. But then when we go out and meet other people and realize that they do things differently, you know, at least we get the chance to say, oh, I like that, or I don't like that, or whatever the case may be. But what I'm saying is that when you grow up in an environment where you don't necessarily show a lot of, show a lot of affection. I'm not saying you don't have it, but you don't show it. It kind of scares you when somebody runs up and throws their arm around you, you know, and you go, oh, you know, because that's a touchy type thing, you know. And so you have to relearn that. But Paul said in Romans 16, verse 16, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? So, you know, when we think about all these commands, these one another commands, we understand that this is one of those commands, that we greet one another with a holy kiss. We're going to understand what that means here in just a minute. Now, we're kind of unique as a church here in the United States because we are the result of the restoration movement that happened years ago. All these old pioneers that were trying to restore things the way that they used to be in the first century, and we're the recipients of that. And they did a lot of things in the right way, okay? Because they had sayings like call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things by Bible ways, you know, and have a book chapter, you know, all those sayings that we have, you know, those were all good solid statements that they made. They were good information. And when we think about that, they taught us a lot of good things about how to structure the church and what the church should do and how we should organize the church and those types of things. And I don't think today we have a problem with that. We do a little bit because some of these weird ideas attacking the church. But when Satan works on the church today, I don't think he's working because of biblical knowledge or maturity or because of organization or things like that, because I don't think he's going to have much success in that field. But where he can have success is in dealing with us and our relationships to one another. And I'm going to tell you, in my personal experience, over the years, I've seen more churches destroyed over personal relationships between individuals than by any doctrine or creed or whatever. Okay, and so that's something that we need to keep in mind. Because I think today, basically, the church is doctrinally sound. There are some that have, you know, left that soundness. We understand that. But that's not the problem. Okay. So we need help not with our organization and not with our doctrine and not with our maturity, but we need special help with our spiritual and biblical relationships with one another. Okay, I think that's what we need. And so I think this is where this passage comes into play when Paul talks about greet one another with the holy kiss. In fact, I want you to go over there now to Romans chapter 16, and I want to read the first 16 verses. And there's a bunch of names in here, and I'm going to tell you right now before we even start, I'm going to mispronounce a lot of them. Okay, so I don't think that's all that important, but let's just read through here and let's see what Paul has to say, and then we want to ask some questions here. Okay? Romans chapter 16. Oh, I better get over there. I'm in Corinthians. Romans chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 1, if I can get over there. I've got a marker in my Bible that won't let me turn the pages. I'll get there eventually. Just hold on. Those pages stuck together there. All right. I finally got here. All right. Now follow along with me here. And again, I apologize for mispronouncing some of these names. But if you don't like it, you can read them. We'll see how you do. Okay. All right, he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, that she may, for she has been a patron of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet the church in their house. Greet my mother Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles. And Philetus, that sound good enough? Greet Ampilitus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who was approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphenia and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me also. Greet Aristarchus, Phlegion, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with him. Greet Philologus, Julius, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, when you get to chapter 6, verse 16 right there, we're very familiar with the passage, aren't we? You know, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. We could quote that. We know it. We've heard it from the time being, you know. But what about those first 15 chapters? You know, I question myself and I think about those things. Why in the world do we have all these? I think there's 27 names in there, if I remember correctly. 27 names that we can't even pronounce. You know, Paul's friends. Why are they written in the Bible? What can we gain from them being in here? Okay. Now, Peter tells us that all Scripture, okay, is written, you know, not by the whims of men, but as they were led by the Holy Spirit. And so, if this is in the Scriptures, and Paul wrote these, he was led by the Holy Spirit to put this in there. So what profit is it for us? What do we gain from that? Can you think of anything? Normally we just go right over these things, you know. We just read them and skip right on by them. Go ahead. Okay. 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 Now, let's think about Paul when he wrote the book of Romans. Okay. He had never been to Rome. Okay. But he's writing to the church, and these people are there because he tells the church to greet them for him. Okay. So obviously he's talking about people not from Rome that he has met, but people that he's met in other places who are now in Rome. Okay? So obviously these people have made a great difference in Paul's life. Okay? They've helped him along the way in some way. Okay? Now this is not the only place we find this idea of greeting one another with a holy kiss. Over in 1 Corinthians 16 and 20, it says all the brothers send greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 12, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send greetings. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 26, it says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So we see five times, just right here, by two different apostles, the same instructions. But now when we think about this, if you look at the Greek language, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but my understanding is that wording there is the imperative clause, which is a command. And when he says, greet one another with a holy kiss, he's giving to the church a command. So we had this five times by two different apostles, okay? And so, how important do you think this is? Probably pretty important, isn't it? Okay. And so, I want us to concentrate on that idea and think about that today, because what I want to know is how does that apply to me? Why is that important, for me? We seem to worm out of, you know, this command, because that scares us to death when we see greet one another with a holy kiss. It does me. Okay. It does me. All right. But what we do is we will say things like, that was an Eastern culture, and we don't do that over here. They kiss each other over there. Over here, what do? Yeah, we shake hands or we hug or something like that. Yeah, we have to be careful today. Got to give them the foot and the elbow and things like that. You know, but that's our Western culture today. And so we say we don't do the holy kiss. Okay. Now, I'm going to agree with you here, but I want us to understand some principles. Okay. If you shake someone's hand, okay, does that mean as much as a hug or a holy kiss? Huh? It can, but a lot of times we're just a natural reflex, isn't it? You know, it's kind of a greeting type thing. Okay. What I'm getting at is that when he says greet one another with a holy kiss, Peter said, greet one another with a kiss of love. Okay. What were they implying?
You have to remember that Romans was written because of differences between the
churches. Yes. Yes.
And the Greek word there translated Greek literally means to embrace, to hold in one's arms. And
okay.
That can have a figurative or a literal meaning.
Okay.
The figurative. First Corinthians, there was a difference between the rich and the poor.
Okay.
And he's admonishing these people, you don't look down at anybody. You accept them.
Okay. Okay. That's very good. Very good. In fact, you mentioned the Church of Rome. Let's talk a little bit about the Church of Rome while we're dealing with this. What kind of a diversity do we see in Rome? We're talking about the church now. If you went to the church in Rome back during Paul's day, what would you see there? What kind of people would you find there? Huh? A big mixture, okay? You remember they had converts from the house of Caesar, okay? So there were people who were members of Caesar's household that were part of the church, okay? We also know that they had slaves there, did they not? Okay? So you had slaves and slave owners working right, worshiping right there side by side. You had members of the house of Caesar and people who had been criminals, you know, convicted criminals that were worshiping there side by side. The economic difference between the rich and the poor, they were working there side by side. The Jews and Gentiles, they were worshiping there side by side. And so you see this vast diversity of people that are members of the body. As we talked about last week, if you are members of the body, you are part of the body. And so Paul is telling them, you greet one another. I don't care, rich, poor, black, white, male, female, aristocracy or poor guy. It doesn't matter. You greet one another with a holy kiss. Put some feeling into it. Okay? And too many times we come to church and, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? You know, and out we go. And, you know, we've missed something is what I'm saying. I think the key to what we're talking about here is not in the kiss part. The idea is in the holy part and in the love part. Okay? We have a responsibility to one another to show respect to one another and to show concern for one another, to show a little love for one another, okay? Because we are a part of the body of which they are part of the body also. Okay? So how important is that? How important is that? And something else about this also is that this command wasn't just two specific congregations. It was cross-congregational. Okay, we find eight different congregations that Paul wrote to that he gives the same command to greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, and so this wasn't just for a specific group. It was for everybody. Okay, all right. So how important is that? How important is that? What is the importance of greeting one another? Remember, it's a command. And it's not just a, hey Joe, how you doing? Think it's going to rain today? You know, like we usually do, you know. Put a little meaning, a little feeling into it. Okay? Why do we do that? There has to be a why. Why is it recorded in the Scriptures for us? Okay. We need to have love, and it needs to be more than a pretend, you know, or a face that we put on. You know, we're very good at our attitude sometimes in our relationships. And we can, like a radio, we can turn things on and, you know, then we can turn them off again too, you know. And I think what Paul is telling us is, let love be genuine. Go ahead, Bob.
According to the purpose of the community, to strengthen the unity
okay.
within the church.
That's exactly what it is. You know, every time we come together, what is our function for being here? Our reason for coming is for worship, but that's not, I mean, do you think God needs our worship? Yeah, God is God. He does. Do you think He needs anything from me? Absolutely not. So there has to be another reason. He wants us to come. He desires our worship. But what is the worship for? There you go. That's why we're here. That's why we are a body. That's why we are a family. And when we come together, if we fail to encourage and admonish one another, we've missed one of the reasons why we're here, probably the main reason why we're here, because God doesn't need our worship, but we need to worship God because we need to know who we are and where we come from. But then we also need to realize that, you know, everybody else is the same as I. No one more important, no one less important. And so our responsibility is to pick people up. You know, sometimes we come here and we find people that are hurting, people that are maybe things have gone wrong, maybe they've lost a job. Talking to Joy, which came in a while ago, she said, I'm not feeling too well today. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know, we need to pick her up and pat her on the back and say, what can we do for you? You know, let us help you. You know, what do you need? You know, let's pray for you. Cases like that, you know, that's why we're here. We want to know how everybody's doing. All right. And if we come here and rush out the back door to beat the Catholics and the Baptists down to the restaurant, you know, we've missed our purpose for being here. Okay? I know Rogers, he locks up the building a lot of times out there, and he's standing around, and a lot of people are good about that. And he has to flick the lights every once in a while to tell people to go home, you know. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But not everybody's like that. Everybody, out they go, you know, and we miss, you know, part of what we're here for. Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. And that's what it's all about. Over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Someone gets there, go ahead and read it. I'm thumbing through this Bible back and forth, can't find anything. Someone have it? Okay. So, just as God forgave you, be kind and compassionate. Okay. There was a story that was told one time of a guy that was kind of down on his luck, and he was kind of alone in life, and he was looking for a relationship, and he was passing by a bookstore one day, and he saw in that bookstore a book. It was all concerned about, I forget the title of it, it was something to do about what you need to know about love or something like that. And he said, man, that's it. That's it. He rushed in there and he bought that book, you know. He ran home, you know, couldn't wait to get into it. He was going to, you know, learn, you know, what he needed to do in order to be accepted and get people to love him. And when he opened it up, it said, volume 3 of 6 volumes. You know, and he just put it down and didn't even read it, you know. The point I'm making is if we're trying to find our answers through academia, okay, we're looking in the wrong place. How many times we come and we love to talk about the Greek words for love. We've done it in here a lot of times, you know. And we have this big discussion about what it means to love. It's okay to know those things, but if you don't understand, if you don't adapt the principle behind it, what it's all about, then you've missed the idea. And you can read book after book after book about love and human relationships, but if you don't get the gist of it, you don't understand why, then we miss the whole point. A lot of times as we become more mature in our faith, we begin to think that we need people less and less. Okay, I'm mature in the faith. I can stand on my own. You know, well, what's the fallacy of that? What's wrong with that idea? Yeah, the more mature you become, you really realize more how much you depend on people. Okay. We've said it before, and let me say it again, is that when we have a mature church, okay, one that where everybody realizes where they belong, and I say belong, I hate to say that word because we all belong, but you know what I mean? God placed us in the church where He wanted us, and we know where He placed us, you know. Especially for a leadership in the church, if they're trying to organize a program, and let's say we want to organize a benevolent program so that we can see to it that people's needs are met, you know, who am I going to go to ask to take care of those needs? Am I just going to grab somebody and say, hey, could you take care of this problem for me? Or in Bible classes, for teaching Bible classes, who am I going to go to approach about teaching a Bible class? Okay. Well, if I, as in leadership, if I know that this individual is that's his driving motivation is to see that people get fed or that you know their houses are taken care of or whatever, that those who are unfortunate in order to not be able to take care of their property to help in that drive, and I can organize a group and say, hey, let's go do this and do that. Or if I know that your motivation is to teach, okay, and we need a teacher, I can go and say, can you teach? So in other words, Everybody has something they do. And if I'm able to know, you know, who fits where, it makes it so much easier to go and ask, you know, that person, can you handle this situation? And they can either handle it or maybe make some more suggestions, okay? That makes it so much easier for us to do. But we don't take the time, okay, to do that. I need a teacher, so I'm going to go grab the first person I can because they're overloaded now, and they'll say, yeah, I'll do it, you know. But it just makes it so much easier. So it's important for us for me to understand all those things so that that way the work of the church gets done better. We sing a song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We've sung that a lot, haven't we? What's the meaning behind that song? Yeah, the tie is Christ, okay? But that tie does what, according to the song? It binds us together. And so I have to ask myself the question, am I bound like I should be? You know, am I bound with one another? Am I greeting one another with the holy kiss, so to speak? Do I take time to get to know people? There are so many people in this world that are hurting, you know, that are just longing for a friend, you know, and we've heard horror stories about people that come and sit on the pews and they come alone and they leave alone and no one ever even visits with them or asks them over to dinner or takes them out to dinner or anything. And after a while, they just fall away, you know, because they just think nobody cares. And that is a shame. I'm afraid that the Lord's going to hold us responsible for that one day. You know, He's going to say, what happened to old Joe? You know, there was a preacher one time that told a story about a man who was in a similar situation. He walked to church every Sunday morning, and then he walked home every Sunday morning back. He was there, and over a period of time, he simply quit coming. And he wrote a letter to the preacher to explain to him. He says, I no longer attend services. I'm now a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? And the family thought, well, that's crazy. He's a teetotaler. He's never had a drink in his life. But his reason for doing that was he simply wanted somebody that cared. And he wasn't getting it from the church, so he went to Alcoholics Anonymous just to have somebody, you know, to show that they were concerned about him. I know that's an extreme case, but that's a sad commentary, really, what it amounts to. Everybody needs to be loved. You ever heard about some of the case stories about little bitty babies? Babies that were abandoned at birth? Or babies that maybe the mother died at birth? How they were placed in institutional situations to be taken care of? These studies go all the way back to like 1950. Okay? And you can take an infant and put him in a sterile environment, you know, with the best facilities, you know, the best of everything, medication and whatever. And if they don't get some kind of attention, they will eventually die. It's not always the case, but they will. It's possible that that's what they do. And they found that just having a nurse that cared about them and picked them up and, you know, and foo-fooed them and, you know, tickled their tummies or whatever, just over time and showed them a little bit of attention, that their rate of survival went way up. What does that tell us about people? What can we learn from that? Everybody needs to be loved. Absolutely. Absolutely. I never outgrow that need. Okay. Was it the wise man Solomon? I think it over in Ecclesiastes that said, no man is an island. I think that was a Simon and Garfunkel song, wasn't it? One of them, you know, no man is an island or something like that. But I think they claimed they were an island. But what that means is we all depend upon one another. That's part of the body relationship. Okay. Nobody stands alone. We're arms and legs and eyes and ears and whatever, but we're part of the body of Christ, and He's the head. Okay? And so I need to understand that, and knowing that, that I need that, I need to understand that other people need that also. Okay. They need that also. And if we, they don't get it, then they're going to go somewhere where they can get it. Several years ago, I don't remember how far back, but they had a real problem down in Houston at one of the high schools where the kiddos were over-affectionate, should I say. There was a lot of hugging and kissing going on in the hallways and places like that. And it almost became embarrassing. And so they had to make down some rules, you know, and the rules were simply no kissing and stuff like that. And the school became known as the no kissing zone. You know, they got that label and people made fun of it, you know, and shame it had to come to that. But they were allowed to hold hands, but there was no kissing to be done, or you're going to go to the principal's and you know, get in trouble. Well, you know, we get like that in the church today sometimes. You know, we're almost afraid to touch somebody that we don't know, or afraid to engage with somebody that we don't know. And I'm one of the world's worst. If I don't know somebody, I'm very leery. I force myself, you know, and I'm always glad that I do, to make sure that, especially if we have a visitor, that I get around and greet those people. But I'm not comfortable with it. Okay? Goes back to my upbringing, okay? And I'm trying to overcome those things. Maybe I'll work forever, but that's okay. I'm gonna work on it. But those people are here for a reason. And what I understand, I'm told that if a visitor comes to our building and within 12 minutes after arrival, I don't know where they get these figures, but this is the ones I'm reading. If after 12 minutes of their arrival, someone hasn't greeted them and made them feel welcome, they'll never come back. Okay? And so it's important for us to do that because people want to feel at home. Okay? And so if we have that responsibility towards visitors, how much more responsibility do we have towards one another? It's a great responsibility. Someone tells a story about Mahatma Gandhi. Was that his name? Am I saying that right? Mahatma Gandhi? From over in India. He had gone to school in South Africa. And while he was getting his training over there, I'm not sure what his training was in, but he had heard stories about the Christian church. And so he was going to attend one of the churches over there in South Africa to get to know more about the Christian religion, just for his own knowledge. And he was greeted at the door by one of the hierarchy or whatever, and they basically told him, said, look, there's churches on the other side of town that will take care of people like you. We don't service people like you here in this particular place. And so he went, you know, and never came back. And in his memoirs, he recorded this incident, and he said, my feeling was that if that's the way Christianity was, I was better off a Hindu. Okay. Now, you think about Mahatma Gandhi today, there's not a person in India today that doesn't recognize that name or know who he was or what he stood for. Okay? Can you imagine, just imagine how things could have been different had they accepted him, you know, and he learned more about the Christian religion and maybe even a stone? Now, this, we can only speculate, you know, because there's a lot of things that would have had to happen in order for this to be true, but that's the way things work, you know. If they had accepted him, if they had taken him in, you know, and as an equal or whatever the case may be, the whole outcome of the nation of India could have been totally different. Because I'm telling you, that man influenced more people in India than anybody in history ever has. So the same is true of us today. You know, when someone comes through those back doors or visiting, we don't look at race or color. We don't look at the expensive clothes they're wearing or the ragged clothes that they're wearing. We look at an individual, okay, and we want them to feel welcome because that's what Christ is all about. And don't we have a lesson about that? That Christ teaches us about, you know, someone comes into your service wearing expensive clothes. Remember that story? What was the moral of that story? Anybody remember? He said, what do you do when they come in wearing expensive clothes? Well, you usher them right down to the front. Come up here, get this important seat up here, you know. Okay, now here comes this old beggar in ragged clothes, and what do you do with him? you sit back over here in the corner, you know, and behave yourself and don't interrupt us now and be nice. Okay. So what was the outcome of the story? What was the moral? Why did he tell us this story? Yeah. Don't show favoritism. Yeah. Look at the heart. Okay, that's what it's all about. Because, see, we're making these human distinctions. Rich and poor, you know, black, white, male, female, Jew, Greek, you know, that's a human concept. God doesn't see those things. Okay. Everyone is equal. So we need to keep those things in mind when we do those things, that everybody is equal. Okay. Over in Romans, back over in Romans again, chapter 12 and verse 10. All right, I find it here. Romans 12 and verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. What do we think about that? Outdo one another. We don't really have competition in the church, do we? You know, but he says here, outdo one another. So I think that's a pretty good idea. Let's have a brotherly love competition, okay? We're going to outdo one another. I think that would be great. Okay. So that's what it's all about. It's not for us. It is for God. So look for opportunities to be able to do good things. I think we read 27 names. I think 10 of them were women. So that would that leave 17 men. Okay. Like I said, some of them were Jews, some of them were Romans, some of them were slaves, some of them were free. So he addressed every culture there. Okay. Yes, as far as the church was concerned, they didn't have the problem that the world did, but yeah, it was all equality. So what we want to take away from this is the fact that when we read this passage, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Let's not get so carried away with the kiss part, you know, as we are with the love and the holy part, okay? We want to be sincere individuals, to where no matter who, a member of the church or a visitor coming in the door, we show them equal respect and equal regard, okay, so that everyone will feel welcome. There's a story that was told about a guy who was going to be the greeter that morning, and he was real good at greeting. He always stood at the door and opened the door for everybody that came in and shook everybody's hand. But on this one particular morning, it was kind of hot outside, and there was a dog that kept trying to come in the door, and he was kicking the dog away and, you know, bringing people in, you know, and after service had started, he was sitting on the back row. He was very diligent, you know, about greeting people, and he heard the door open back there, so he jumped up and ran back there to greet the people. As they were coming in, that dog was making a run to get in too, and he kicked at the dog and missed him and kicked the lady in the shin. And she said, we're sorry we're late, but we're visitors. We weren't sure what time you started, you know. So, you know, but we don't really literally do that. But by ignoring our visitors, you know, and not greeting them the way we should, we're just as guilty, you know, as if we kicked them in the shin or something, because they won't be back. Okay? And you've been places, have you not? I'm sure you all have. I have, where you felt like you were welcome and wanted. And you've been other places where, you know, no one ever talked to you. And you think, am I in the right place? And you go outside and look at the sign to make sure you're in the church building. And so, it happens. It happens. We want to be a church where people are welcome, where people feel a part of the body. But on the other hand, too, we all need to remember that we are part of the body and we owe equal, respect and honor to one another. Okay, so as Paul said here, let's have a little competition. Let's outdo one another with love. Okay, so here's what we want to see. Let's make the application here. First of all, we are a church, and we need to understand that everybody is different. And we, as a body, need to accept the differences. It doesn't matter. Race, economics, education, it doesn't matter. Everybody is the same. So we need to learn to accept the differences in everybody. Okay? So we need to be friendly. Not always easy. I'm telling you, there's some people in this old world that you'd rather choke them than hug them, you know. They're just hard to get along with. I had an experience one time when I was going to school at Harding. I went to school in the morning and I worked in a discount store in the afternoons. And I was the only one back. I worked in the sporting goods and automotive department back there. And on this day, I was the only person back there. Okay. And a guy came in wanting to buy a John boat, him and his grandson. And so I had to go outside where the John boats were and load up a John boat for him. And it wasn't in a truck. It was on the roof rack on the top of his car. And I fought those things and got the one he wanted. And he would say, no, not that one. I want this one. No, 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 no. Get this one. So I'm moving boats around. I had to wrestle that thing up on top of his car. And neither one of them offered to help me. Okay? Not one bit. And I finally got it up there. And he says, I changed my mind. I want this. And so I had to load another one up. And by this time, I was getting pretty frustrated. And so he went in and complained to the manager that I had a bad attitude. So, you know, I'm just saying there's people like that. We're going to run into them all of our lives. You know, just smile and say thank you. And it's not easy to do. But be friendly to everybody. As bad as it hurts sometimes, be friendly with everybody. Okay. And the next thing is care enough to say something to everybody. And I think that's the idea of what Paul was trying to get across when he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's, like I said, it's not the kiss part. It's the idea of being loving and being holy, okay, and just treating everybody with the respect that everybody wants to be treated with. Okay? Comments? Questions? I hate to do all the talking. I like to hear other people's comments. Anybody want to add anything? Now's your opportunity. All right. He's getting ready to ring the bell. All right. So, appreciate you coming. Thank you.